Well, we're going to be continuing our teaching I had been doing, dealing with in due time. God's been dealing with me a lot in this area because it's one thing is laying a foundation, especially from a scriptural standpoint. Where are we in time? It's hugely important because there's a lot of people, whether they want to realize it or not in the church world, that are very, they're very discouraged about things because we've been told certain things. And, it's one of the things is dealing with things from accuracy. We want to be accurate concerning the Word of God. And, I know when I came into the kingdom, everything talking and pointing to the end time was like, everything's going to get so glorious and nice. It's going to be so wonderful. It's going to be like Alice in Wonderland, We're just going to all have it. And they were wrong. But number one, what was bad was they weren't preaching the Bible. Now, these were people saying they believed the Word. And the Word talked about people, Paul wrote about how people were going to get at the end times. We have Peter said about how people were going to get at the end times. And you know what? They got, just like the Word said, people are moving. We have two drastic situations in our earth. We have people who are following God and people who aren't. And the people who aren't following God are not getting better. And I don't want to discourage you. If they don't follow God, it ain't going to improve. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. The people that don't follow God are not going to get to be better people. That's why, like we have today, our standards of things that are going on. Like we talk about, now this thing here with these police officers who beat, a man to death and this thing here going on. We need to understand there is no group of people without God that are doing good things. We need to get over this thing that there are certain organizations and groups that are really great. No, they're not. The only ones that will keep from doing evil is if you follow God. If you're unsaved and you're going to stay in that life, you're going to do worse than what you thought you'd do. It's the Bible. It's not going to get better. It's not getting better in that respect toward the end. People aren't going to get nicer. This fantasy of getting the right government. Well, can we get everybody saved? people mean well, but they're going to follow their nature more and more. And if they're evil and they're not born again, they're going to follow that nature. They're going to be more influenced by demonic power. See, this is one of the things that, I really appreciate Mike's teaching because we need to renew our mind. The church has too much. We got too many people sitting at the top who are supposed to be smart, and they're not. They're not renewed their mind to the times we're living in. I want to understand what I'm living in. I don't want to live in fantasy. Don't tell me everything's wonderful if it's not, I want to know the truth. I want to know what I'm dealing with, where I have to walk. I'm not looking for a move of God coming that's going to be very easy. I'm just telling you this. There's going to be more and more persecution on the church. Mm-hmm. And the more the glory pours out, the greater the persecution is going to get. Mm-hmm. The devil hates the church, and his people aren't going to like the church. And so get that in you. Find that out. It's just what it is. We got to walk in love whatever they do or not. This is why, Mike's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We got to develop and grow because, it's like they used to tell us in Bible school, you have to have a hide like a rhinoceros, but you got to have a tender heart. You got to be able to take the shots of the arrows. We don't have that, It's, people make, the statements, they said, they want Donald Trump as president, and they said, Donald Trump got saved. Well, I don't know that by what he does. I don't see it. Because he doesn't have any fruit of the Spirit. Anybody says anything about him or does anything, he don't like him, man, he's after him and he's knocking everybody and everything. He needs to get some fruit of the Spirit if he gets saved. Somebody, those Christians around him should have told him something. He needs a renewed mind. I'm not knocking him. That's the church world today. You go online and you find Christians in retaliation of everything that goes on. Everything the world does, they have to have a retaliation to it. I'm sorry, you can't live like that. You can't do that. I remember back when I first got born again and listened. In fact, I was in two different meetings where Kenneth Hagin had prophesied about the end times, and he said persecution is going to come at the end. He said, it's not from the outside, but from inside. In other words, in the church. And we're having a great divide in the church world. And he said, we got to walk in love. No matter what they do, we got to walk in love. You know, we can't be these people retaliating because somebody is not doing something we like. We can't have this retaliatory attitude about people. We can't have that. We can't get online and respond to everything that's going on. You've got to stop this stuff. You know? Man, I wish Facebook and all that would blow up. I wish it'd be gone tomorrow. All of it. Because what it's become is a thing that causes huge problems. And everybody got to have their say, you know. I found out, you know, Ed got to shut up. You know, I like to say a lot of it, but I can't be saying them. I can't walk as a Christian. I don't believe in freedom of speech as it's believed in today. I don't have the freedom to say everything I want. The Bible don't give me the freedom to say anything I want. The Bible is my constitution. Not some judge sitting somewhere saying, everybody, well, you go to court, I got to get my freedom of speech. Forget it. Don't get it back. Some people don't need it. I'm going to say anything. You know, if we have something to say, we need to say, if we're going to do it, it says, you know, speak the truth in love. Don't do it just to try to tear people up and get in the fight. You know, and don't complain if they fight back when you're fighting. Don't, you know, you ain't got nothing to say. You know, you did it. You know, if they turn on you, good. You know, we're going to say something, say it in love. You know, say it to be a little constructive instead of just trying to tear something up. You got somebody that's downright evil, you can try to talk nice to them and they'll get mad. You can't get in their ballpark. It don't do any good.
Amen.
I've lived there, man. It don't do any good. I got, when I was unsaved, the poor Christians had come along and tried to retaliate against me. It was the worst thing you ever did. Because they ended up worse off. It's like, you need to know, it don't work. And so we got to get over into this and get into it. Change our thinking. Renew our minds. Hallelujah. Get thinking different. You know, Jesus didn't retaliate against the world. He loved it and tried to save this whole thing. He wants to save everybody. He died for every man. Glory to God. Wasn't just Ed. Hallelujah. Amen. He died for everybody. Now we were talking about, because number one, as a move of God, I believe, personally, I believe in a move of God in these last days. I don't believe because there's evil that God is not going to move, that things will get so bad. The one thing is, if I've learned about God, He's the last call guy. He's going to do it. Because I can see His patterns in the Word. When you look in the Word, His response to Israel is amazing. And His patience with Israel and the evil that they got into. In fact, I mean, they had some terrible kings, did awful stuff, and the nation did terrible. But a king would come along and get in there who would start to follow God, and God would withhold judgment. Hold judgment, even though they had done just wicked and evil. Now, you need to understand this about judgment. Judgment don't necessarily come and fall on the group who has actually done the most worst things. Many times judgment was put off to another generation. Another generation got the judgment. See, this is one thing. It's why you got to live for God and live God right. Amen. Because you might be destroying your kids.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, a lot of Christians are going to stand before Jesus and hear a whole lot of things they don't want to hear about what they were doing here and what they set their kids up for. People need to understand these things, these principles. You know, I often thought about that. Judgment was stayed, but it fell on the next generation. I mean, you take Solomon. Solomon did some evil things in his last days, built a bunch of temples and that stuff, married ungodly women, built temples for them, all that kind of worship other gods. And because of David, God didn't bring the judgment on him, but it fell on his son. What he did divided a nation. You know, he did a lot of good things, but I tell you, he had a lot of things to answer for when he met Jesus. He had a lot of things to answer for. And see, we need to understand, we're living in a day and a time, and this is why it's so important as we understand the time that we're in. What is going on? John the Baptist came, and when John the Baptist came, he came to get people ready for the Messiah. That was one of the things that the Lord concerning the ministry of with Kenneth E. Hagin was God getting His people ready. God wants His people ready to meet Him, and as it is ready, is you don't read and you have a whole basket load of junk you're going to answer for. He wants people to be ready. There's to be, and I'll tell you, there will be a glorious church leave.
Hallelujah.
When Jesus comes, there will be a glorious church. Going to be a glorious church, and so number one, I want to be part of the glorious church. I don't want to be the guy that. I get to heaven and say, my God, I made it. I don't want to be that guy. So, we want to get there. Hallelujah. But you know, God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God desires to reward people. And that's what's about being ready for reward. So you get rewarded. And now we have been talking about the fire of God. And this is hugely important. We looked at, the Lord had me deal with this, is going over and looking in the Old Testament of things concerning the fire of God and it's what the fire of God did in pouring out. We looked at it. It was used of the things that God did pouring out to awaken His people, also for judgment. We need to understand this is we have some instances in the Bible of fire dealing with the devil. And pouring out. If we take with Job, when Job, fire poured out of heaven, and it wasn't by God. They said it was God, but it wasn't God. God didn't do anything. He didn't destroy a thing of Job. It was the devil did. The devil did. And fire poured, it says, out from heaven, around the sky. It poured out, if you read in Job, the first chapter, verse 16, it burned up his sheep and his stuff and his servants and that stuff that were watching. If you read that, you'd see that fire fell down, and that was from the devil. Now, we need to understand this. We have, like, say, the children of Israel. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, but the signs and wonders that God did, the first ones He did, the sorcerers duplicated. They duplicated certain things. We also had, during the tribulation period, where the Antichrist, his false prophet, will call fire down out of heaven. As a sign to the people. Now, this is one of the things that we need to understand. This can benefit us in this time. This is why people need to understand the Word of God. They need to understand what's going on. Because not everything that looks miraculous is from God. And yet, the church falls for all kinds of things. We fall for all kind of, anything that happens, well, it's from God, is it? What does it produce? God doesn't show off. God does things for purpose. Everything He does. Number one, it's to get people to turn. Number one, there's too much stuff goes on. It leads nobody to repentance or nobody closer to God. People are just moved by something that happens. Anything that seems a bit miraculous, is it from God? What's its purpose? Does it draw attention to God or does it draw attention to people? What does it do? We have, all kinds of things that have happened over time, blood and statues and all kinds of things. I've seen the things and where oil pouring out of people's hands. I sat in a service with that. And it turns out the person that was doing it had demonic manifestations going on through them. And it was. But yet, there was a number of big name ministers. If I named them, you'd know every one of them. If I named, said it was God. Said it was God. But here's one thing. What do we judge? And this is one of the most important things. I'm so thankful of sitting under Kenneth Hagin's ministry because he constantly made, especially in Bible school, they constantly made an effort to us is to really know the Word. And you judge by the Word. See, you judge by the Word. Now, I want you to think about this. If we would look into the Old Testament, we have the Old Testament prophets. See, we have prophets today, and the prophet says something, and people in the church world are terrible at judging prophecy. They're horrible at it. It's because, they do the same thing that they did in the Old Covenant. Now, we should be a whole lot better. You and I have the Spirit of God in us. And also we have the Word. And we can take, between the Spirit and the Word, we ought to know what's going on. But I want you to understand this, the Word is always first. The Word is always first. It's one of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin's ministry. He talked about that, his ministry. He said, the Word's always first, prophecy's not. The Word is. How can you judge Prophecy. Well, you judge prophecy by the word. This is one of the things I've learned over the years. People have said prophecies, and I thought, you know, there's things about the word that don't line up that the Bible says about end times, and yet people are saying it. People are saying things. But I thought, well, it don't line up. There's certain things in the word. You got to be able to judge stuff. You know, let's take this and see, when I first got saved, you've heard me talk about this. One of the first things that the Lord did to me was had me go over and read the book of Jeremiah. Here I am first getting saved and going to Jeremiah. I thought, you know, all the churches tell everybody you're supposed to go read John first. God led me to Jeremiah. And I read Jeremiah and I thought, what on earth is this? You know, these people are insane. But now, now understand these people, they had prophets. What they had is they had Jeremiah. There was a couple other prophets at that time too were saying certain things. But the majority of the prophets are prophesying everything's going to turn out great. Well, who's right? Well, it wouldn't have been hard to figure out who's right if they would have went to the Word. Because you go over in the Old Testament, go over the covenant, when God told Israel, if they got into sin and they would serve other gods, what was going to happen to them? If any prophet stood in that day and said everything was going to be all right, you could know in a minute he's a liar. The Bible said if you're serving other gods, you're toast. The curse is going to fall on you, not the blessing. Why? They didn't follow the word. Today, people want to hear good news, even if it ain't. They don't even care. Loads of Christians don't even care if it's even going to happen. Just tell me it's okay. And I'm serious. They're in that place. A lot of people are in that place. Just say good things to me. Don't tell me the bad that's coming, even though it's coming. Don't tell it to me. Just keep telling me everything's all right. Just keep saying that. You know, I always use it to the battered wife syndrome. You know, the guy beats her and beats her, but he says he loves me. He says he loves me. Yeah, but he's beating you. It's like, that ain't working. But see, people today, we have all this junk going on out here, and the church will almost accept anything that sounds like good news. Hey, I got a book full of the good news. I don't need somebody to lie to me. Dear Lord, my God, my greatness and my God is this. He can take care of Ed in trouble. The greatness of God isn't He can make everything good. It's in the midst of trouble, He's the deliverer. Hallelujah. He's the strong tower. The righteous run into Him and are safe. What do you need safety if everything's running good? You don't need it. I don't know what today, what people think faith's for. I don't know. Faith is because trouble's here. I need something I can trust in. And I found out this God, I can trust Him. And His Word is top shelf. If I got stuck on an island with no prophets around anywhere, I could live a successful Christian life. Hallelujah. Because I have a word. Hallelujah. That's more sure. That's what the Bible says. It's more sure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Folks, we got a place to stand, and it's a strong place to stand. It's in the middle of trouble. When things are getting worse, hallelujah, we have a more sure word. Hey, this Bible will see you through. The word of this book will see you through. Amen. You can stand. People can do what they want. God will still fulfill His word. He has changed not. Amen. And we got to come down to that thing. Do we believe this thing? You know, I don't want to be lied to about things. I don't want somebody to tell me something. I don't need a thus saith the Lord if the Lord didn't speak. I don't need that. What I need is the truth. I mean, if there's danger coming down the road, I would sure like to know about that because I need to know where I stand. Where do I need to stand if it's coming down the road? See, we need to know that. I realize I said preaching a positive message, but we turned what we call a positive message into saying something good all the time. And it's deceived people. People are deceived right and left. And I feel terrible for them because they don't understand what's on the horizon. They're waiting for a man who's going to be a savior. We're going to get a certain person in government. We're going to get some. I'm sorry. I already got the savior. Hallelujah. He's already come. I have the Messiah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There's no Savior, other Savior coming. Hallelujah. All that come are just men. And you know, they can be good or bad. They do some good and some bad or all good. I don't know. But anyhow, I can always trust Jesus. He's always going to do what's right. I can always stand. The church, in many ways, is doing exactly what the world's doing. They're looking, you know, it's just like Israel. They kept looking. The Messiah's wandering around them. God's pulling out His glory in their land, and they're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a Savior, and they're looking to natural men to do it. And right in front of them stands the Messiah. Hallelujah. You know, we're the church. We're the temple of God. Hallelujah. God's going to use somebody in this earth. It's going to be us.
Amen.
He uses His people. Glory to God. God's in us. We have the Messiah. I'm not looking for a Savior. Hallelujah. There's nobody. Nobody's going to save this thing. No one's going to save it. You know, I read the book. This thing. I mean, my God, in the millennium, Jesus has to rule with a rod of iron over the heathens. I mean, the devil's locked up and they still ain't acting right. So we can't blame the devil on it all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll be fully redeemed then. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you, that's going to be wonderful. I'll tell you. The day when Jesus comes and all the church gets the new suit. Woo! Hallelujah. What a day. Glory, glory, glory. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. But we want to make sure with ourselves that we get thinking right. Now, we're going to talk about some things of fire. What fire in dealing with the New Testament? I want you, what relates to it? Now, because we need to understand this from a scripture. In Hebrews 10:1, it says this, and I want to read this to you because we need to understand. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing, can never with these same sacrifices which they offered continually year by year make those who approach perfect." Now I want you to get this part of it. The law was having a shadow of the good things that come and not the very image of the things. You see, when we read in the law and we're reading things under the law, we need to understand this. The law is types and shadows. We have this problem I've watched over the years in the church. The church tries to take and live by the types and the shadows. That's what they're trying to, a shadow. Now, understand this. It's not the image of the thing. It's a shadow. You know, if they called me to go to testify in a court of law and against a person committing a crime, and they'll say, "Did you see the person commit this crime?" Say, "I saw his shadow." They'd say, "Okay. We'll see you later." We'll see you later. You saw his shadow. Well, it's not the shadow's not. In other words, there's things in Scripture we need interpreted by God. And the New Testament interprets things and brings things into light. You know, that's why the Apostle Paul wrote about what the Bible said about muzzling the ox that treads out the corn. He said, "Do you think it was God was talking about animals? He was talking about." Taking care of ministers who preach gospel. That's what he's talking about. Well, see, we had a type and shadow. There was a type and a shadow was that ox. But that wasn't the real thing. Paul said it wasn't. He said, "Do you think God was talking, was worried, concerned about the ox?" Yeah, in America, he would be. The ox, let the guy starve and let's take care of the ox. The ox is what's really important. But see, there was a type and shadow that the Bible took doing that. See, God made a statement in the law about that. Why would He make a statement in the law about that? Because it meant something that was going to come in the future and was going to be revealed in the New Testament. So this is why we have this. In Colossians, Paul wrote this in Colossians in the second chapter. So we can see this thing. And this is why we need to find out what things are about. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 16 and 17 say this. It says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regard to a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are shadows of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." So here we see this. Paul makes mention about with the eating, how under the law they had to eat certain ways. They had certain days they had to, you know, set aside their Sabbath. They had, there was more than just the Saturday Sabbath. They had other Sabbaths too that God established. All those things. We're found out here that those things are just shadows of things to come. They weren't the real thing. They represented something else. And see, today, we have in the church world, all those people, you know, they go all that. Well, you know, it's really funny because I really, that you can't have Sunday, the Sabbath. Sunday was never a Sabbath under the law. Saturday was always the Sabbath. Always. Always the Sabbath. Sunday was never a Sabbath. The Sabbath fell on Saturday. That's when it always fell. So see, you couldn't take, see, there's types and shadows of things. Now he said about food, they had certain things that they had to eat. Certain things that they did. Now, one of the things that you find out, if you follow, one of the things that the Jewish Christians had a tough time in the beginning was getting away from the Jewish practices. See, when Paul, you know, we find Paul had to rebuke Peter, because when Peter came up, he joined in with the rest of the Jews and sort of separated himself from the Gentiles. That's what they were known for doing under the law. They didn't eat the things that they ate. They separated themselves from. They did. And he had to chew him out on it. He said, hey, hold it. We ain't following that anymore. See, it was hard getting the Jews away from practicing the law. They still practice it. Paul even practiced some things in the law. He went down and did cleansing things and went down to the temple and offered certain sacrifices. Paul did. They had a hard time breaking away from it. That's all they knew. That's what they did. And what people try to, they did, they went through the same problems that we have. I was raised in religion, and you know what? I found out when I got saved and started reading things in the Bible, you still had these things you had to try to get away from, because, you know, they made them as if, you know, they practiced the law. And if you don't practice the law, they're mad. Now, Paul turns around and writes, he said, whatever, you know, you can, whatever day you consider holy, you consider holy. Some men, he said, consider every day holy. Some have certain days, and some don't. Either way, don't matter. They just, you know, he said, you know what his answer to was? It don't matter, whatever you want to do, don't try to throw it on somebody else. Everybody wants to throw their holy day on somebody else. Oh, that's a Christian today, Christmas. Ah, we got to throw that holy day on everybody. If you want to do it, do it. And if you don't want to do it, hey, that's up to you. What I'm interested in, who's really for God and who ain't. Loads of people practice the holy days and they're holy hell. That's what they are. It's good preaching, folks. See, that stuff don't matter. Hallelujah. People fall on the types and the shadows. Much of what is fought over today is fought over by men and men's ideals and men's things. It doesn't matter. You can go into any group. That's why if somebody wants to do something, do have at it. That's what you want to do. You know, we have our practices that you have to have. There's many certain holy days in the church. They're established by the church as being holy days. They were never set aside by God. I mean, the church doesn't even follow Easter according to the Jewish calendar. So, I mean, it's just a day man picked. And they picked it by the lunar moon thing. And this other is what the pagans did on their nice little, you know, celebration of, you know, the spring and all that kind of stuff. So that's so they could get the pagans in the church. And you have to give people days of worship, you know. You got to give them their little things. That's what religion got to do. Got to give people stuff. Hallelujah. This is good preaching anyhow, folks. Yeah. But see, this truth to say, because what happens? You get in money. I just love serving Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's what I like. I just, you know, it's when we have to follow these certain patterns, we're trying to keep everybody happy in the church, and all their groups have all their stuff. And they you know, they won't fellowship with you if you don't do their religious stuff. Yeah. When it comes down to any substance, there isn't any. It's all types and shadows. And if you show them the real image, they get mad at you. This is a picture of what it really looks like. Say, well, we don't believe that way. Hallelujah. So there is, really, following Christ, there is a real freedom. It's one of the freedoms, and we understand, is this. You know, the church has its own images and types and that it follows. But the things that the Bible tells us to is dealing with the fruit of the Spirit in our walk and our life. Today, you know, God loves everybody. Live like you want. See, this is what it's turned out to. Just keep following the types and shadows. Just keep following that. You'll be a good person. You're all right. Because you're doing all the right practices. Except living right. Those kind of practices. But see, they can only, really, the only thing that'll ever change you is, number one, you must renew your mind so you can learn to live right. If you don't, if you don't renew your mind, you'll never live right. You can't. You've got to renew your mind with the Word of God. You have to renew your mind. You're going to follow your thinking. You can do. If you don't renew your mind to the Word of God, then you follow the way that you think. So I want you to see this, because we're going to find there's a type and shadow. Something has changed, because in Matthew, the third chapter, John the Baptist says this. And we want to look at something that John said. In John, Matthew, the third chapter, verse 11, he said this. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. But it said, he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He said, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Do you see what he said? See, one of the things I want you to get this is because, and look, this is no criticism in this at all, but we have mostly just emphasized baptism in the Holy Spirit. The church is not baptized. Now, I was really glad, because when I came in, when I first heard Kenneth Hagin, he talked about baptism in the Holy Spirit. He did a lot of teaching on the fires. What happens when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost? You speak in other tongues, but the whole point of it was demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. See, that's the fire of God. That's the fire. This is one of the things that John G. Lake said. I don't understand. People are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, but they don't have fire. He said, I don't understand it. See, that was duty. Why? Well, is number one, we have what we preach. We may get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, the biggie. That wasn't when I got born again listening to Kenneth Hagin. I knew I was going to speak in tongues, but demonstrations of the Holy Ghost were going to start happening through me. That's what I was taught. See, I don't understand people baptized in the Holy Ghost and no demonstrations of the Spirit. I don't understand, because it happened to me. But I realized this. I was taught it. I wasn't taught just tongues. I was taught fire. See, we're not taught fire. People expect ministers to operate through gifts of the Spirit. That's what everybody in the body of Christ is supposed to have. There's no point to being filled with the Holy Ghost if you don't have demonstration of the Spirit. There's no point to it. There's zero point to it. There's no point to it. It's manifestation. See, if anything I want is God to manifest through me, or you just got me. See, Christians are so excited about being saved and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but all we got is you. That ain't no fun. There's got to be more than me. Hallelujah. There's more to this Christianity than me. Aren't you glad? There's more. There's a supernatural manifestation. Jesus told the disciples, these guys are born again. The church did not start on the day of Pentecost. The church started, Jesus breathed on the disciples before Pentecost and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Do you think they did? They got the new birth. He said, but don't you guys go anywhere till you get filled with till you get endued with power from on high. He didn't say, you just go out there, you got saved. Yeah, when you talk in tongues, then you got it. He said, the power, you need, the fire is about the power. That's what it is. The fire is the power. Don't go without the power. Don't go without manifestation. See, you got to get yourself ready that God wants to manifest. I got saved and I stupidly thought that God would manifest through me. I just, hey, I'm going to have demonstrations of the Spirit through me. I said, I believe. I thought, well, I'll tell you, if nothing would ever happen to me, I'd have been the most disappointed guy in the world. So you could have talked about me about praying in tongues and all that stuff. Who cares? What good does it mean to pray in tongues and build myself up and hold my most holy faith and nothing happens? What is the point of that? See, we need fire. Fire is the big deal. Fire is God's demonstration through man. See, that's what God wants demonstration through His temple. That's what He wants. is the desire for redemption. He said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire is demonstration of the Spirit. In fact, Luke records it in the same way. In Luke 3:16 says, and John answered, saying to all, he said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So we need to understand. So the scripture tells us there's a baptism of fire. Not just baptize the Holy Ghost, there's fire. And so fire. So we see in the Old Testament the types and the shadows concerning the fire. We see the types and the shadows of actual physical fire. Now, listen, in the Old Testament, God dealt with them in the natural about things. They weren't spiritual people. Demonstrations were just in the natural. See, he didn't have, you know, the average person ain't out there. They're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. This guy out here is a prophet. He has the anointing of God on him, but he's not a temple of God. He's not even a temple of God. See, we're really different. It's one of the things, and I want to encourage you in this, because in Mark 16, Mark writes about the demonstrations of the Spirit. You know, casting out devils and things, laying hands on the sick. And he says this. He went on to say that they went out and preached everywhere with the signs following. In other words, the signs follow the word preached. Signs follow the word that's preached. Now, this is one of the things, is why the word must come first. The word, preach the word. You know, preach to people, God will heal them. They'll say, well, we'll pray for you and maybe we'll see what God will do and we'll get a long face and, oh, dear Lord, help them. Well, forget it. Just go home. No, tell people what the Bible says. Tell them what the scripture says that God said. The signs follow the word, and so we need to fire. So we could say this: the fire follows the word. I can tell you this: the church has gotten way off the word. We've gotten into a lot of kinds of things and stuff they're preaching, talking about. We got so much stuff, and like politics and political stuff in the church and things going on. We got away from the fire of preaching fire. We got to come back to preaching fire. We have to come back to it. Start preaching. God, what does God want to do? Well, we know this with every believer. Believers can cast out devils. I know I got criticized online because of a message I preached on casting out devils. And they said, he actually thinks he can cast out devils. Well, I thought, well, what Bible did you ever read, Mr. Christian? But see, Christianity today is full of unbelief. It's full of all kinds of stuff. People, I'm just going to tell you this. There's loads of people who preach today about being saved and born again are going to hate this next revival coming. They're going to hate it because it's going to be the demonstration of the Spirit they've been speaking against. They don't want the signs and wonders. They don't want the healing. They don't want, no, God, don't do that. These people and that's doing it. They criticize it right now. They criticize people. You know, casting out devils. They can't criticize people laying hands on the sick and that stuff. And then the stupid people in the same church, if you have somebody sick, pray for so-and-so. Why? You just said God don't heal you, moron. What do you think was going to happen? If God heals, it's in spite of you, Mr. Stupid. It's absolutely phenomenally dumb. We're living in a crazy world. Don't make any sense. And we wonder why the sinner don't want Christ. They don't even know what we're preaching. It don't make a bit of sense. I can't figure out the difference between the devil and God when they're preaching. Who's who? God's trying to kill me. The devil's bad. What? God's good? It's like, let's get real out here. And so the world says, there's one thing we can do. We can always preach a good God because He is. Amen. And we got to preach a good God in the middle of all this stuff out here. I will just tell you this. Not everybody's going to accept it. Not everybody's going to want it. But we preach it anyhow. Amen. It's like Kenneth Hagin told us. You ain't getting everybody healed. Forget it. That's right. It ain't going to happen. But we preach like He's going to heal everybody. You know why? Because, hey, He took everybody's infirmities and bore their sicknesses. It isn't up to me whether they receive it or not. That's not. All it is for me is to tell it. That's my job to tell it. That's all my job is to tell everybody he did it. Whether they receive it or whether they don't receive it, it matters not. People aren't going to take things. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell the good news anyway.
Amen.
You know? If a guy don't believe in miracles, and God get a miracle from me, I'll tell him about the miracle did. If he don't accept it, too bad. That's not my problem.
Amen.
That's not my problem, trying to figure out who's going to take it. My job is this. If they don't want it, shake the dust off your feet and go someplace else.
Amen.
Not stay there 10 years and try to save them. You ain't God. Get them moving. Get some dust off of your feet. Dear God. You know, some of them keep trying to save your family. You need to get the dust off your feet. Hallelujah. Let God deal with your family. Quit trying to be God in your family. You ain't. And they know it. They've seen how you act. Good preaching. Hallelujah. Even if you acted good, they wouldn't know it. How would the devil's people know what good was?
Amen.
Dear Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I already preached me happy. I'm excited about a good God.
Amen.
And we can go tell about that good God. I mean, think about Moses. Moses, how many times God sent him in front of Pharaoh? God saw miracle after miracle. Did it change a thing with the boy? Nah. God kept sending him back. Strike one, strike two. They had a really long inning. And the boy kept messing up till God had to kill the whole bunch of them. But God kept sending him back for salvation. God kept sending him back, sending him back. Hallelujah. Moses didn't go, I don't know, I guess God didn't send me because if he would have, they would have got changed. My words, hallelujah. Sometimes I know I'm pushing the right button when I get rejected. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus got rejected, but he went to the cross for me anyhow.
Amen.
And I rejected him for years and years, and he never quit.
Amen.
He just kept coming back.
Amen.
He just kept coming back. And it didn't matter. He never got nervous about it. He didn't, oh my, I tried with that boy, but he just... Hallelujah. God's good.
All the time.
See, that's why I preach, and I've used this scripture from Luke in the 12th chapter. We had preached in Luke 12, verse 49 says, Jesus said this, as he came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish that it were already kindled. See, Jesus came. Wasn't there fire on the earth? My God, there was fire on the earth. And that fire was blessing people. He said, that's what I came for. But I'll tell you, he went on to say this. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. He said, but how distressed I am till that's accomplished. But verse 51, do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Because he knew this. See, fire calls division. When the fire starts... The fire starts, division will come. Don't let that upset you. Don't let that bother you.
Hallelujah.
Bless whom you can bless. Help whom you can help.
Amen.
Whatever you can do, God anoints you to do it. You can do it. Hallelujah. And if people accept it or don't accept it, don't get yourself all in a fuss over this thing. We can turn, this one thing is, you know, God starts to move or so much of this political junk, I can just see loads of Christians jumping on the political bandwagon. First thing they're going to want to do, they get rejected. I want to get an attorney. I want to get this. We're going to fight this in court. We're going to fight that in court to make them like me. So they say I can do what God wants me to do. I'm sorry. I'm going to do what God tells me to do if it takes my life.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you this. I am willing, and I ain't just saying, I am willing to die for this gospel.
Amen.
I'm willing to go to heaven.
Hallelujah.
That's what I am.
Amen.
I think these people call faith about staying here so long. They want to stay here forever. It's because they're scared to leave. That's why. I ain't scared to leave.
Amen.
I'll die for this gospel. It's worth giving your life for it. This is a phenomenal thing. I get eternity with Jesus. Don't hold me back. I might leave today. Glory to God. I'm not afraid to.
Amen.
See, you can live free if you ain't worried about dying.
Amen.
But you worried about dying? You can't live free. You'll never live free. Hallelujah. Jesus is worth dying for. Think about the moves. I want to talk to you about this, about the moves of God and the fire of God. Just think about the Apostle Paul and Peter. I mean, these guys, what happens in their day? Revival's moving. They're turning around. These guys are reaching people. They end up dying in around the time of Nero's reign. See, Nero was a type of the Antichrist. That's what he was, a type of Antichrist. And he just started killing Christians. He started a fire in Rome and burnt most of Rome down, blamed it on the Christians, so they started killing the Christians. You know, Peter and Paul, those poor faithless guys, died. Nero had them killed. They died during his reign. They were Christians that were put to death during that time. See, because they didn't have much faith like people do today. They just... I'll tell you what, Paul had been wanting to go home. It probably seemed to him just this is a good opportunity. But you know what? They're out there in the middle of the fire and persecution's going on. Persecution's heavy. But you need to understand this. Those people that brought that fire, the Christians of that day who brought that fire, brought the downfall of Rome. Rome fell because of the persecution. Christianity ended up taking over. I'll tell you what. There's always been martyrs who have brought kingdoms down. Today, people are criticized for here in America, oh, you don't have to die for your faith. Well, you'll probably live and spoil everything that's going on. I'm going to tell you what. There's never... There's one thing. You don't kill God's people and He don't answer it.
Amen.
Amen. Never happens. I'm so thankful there was people who have been willing to die for this gospel. You have Bibles today because there was people who were willing to die, were put to death for printing Bibles. They wouldn't quit. Thank God they wouldn't quit.
Hallelujah.
Religion said, knock it off. We don't want people reading this book, you know. We don't want, like today, don't read this book. Don't do whatever you do. Don't read this book. And there's too many Christians listening. They ain't reading the book. Hallelujah. The book's great. You know the book, there's life in the book. Hallelujah. When I don't know what's going on and people say, well, I can't hear from God, go look in the book.
Amen.
There's one thing is I know I can look in the book and I'll always hear from God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This God talking to Ed. God sent me these nice little messages, these nice letters He sent that I can read them and I can sit down and I can look in His book and I can see these things right here. They're written. Things that were breathed by men and women who walked with God, people who knew God. See, we need to get over and walk in the life of this thing. There's division. Don't be worried about the division coming. Division's here, and it's not going to be better. I'm just telling you, if the next election and Trump gets to be president, probably going to be worse than the one before when he's president. It's going to be more fighting than you ever seen. They're going to get uglier and uglier. Lying and cheating is the norm. Really, from both sides. But anyhow, you know, some people think they're better. You know, I don't lie as much, so I'm nicer than you. I don't lie quite as much as you do. So I'm a pretty nice guy, you know. I just, my lies ain't as big, you know. It don't hurt as many people. So but see, one thing, walk in the light. I'm just going to encourage you, walk in the light. Why?
Amen.
We need the fire. We need the fire.
Amen.
We need the fire. And I want to read you something here. I put this out before, though, in prophecy-wise, something God gave. Really, and it's in line. I mean, this prophecy is exactly in line with what we're facing today. This prophecy was given in 1963. It's a vision that Kenneth Hagin had while he was preaching in a meeting. He was preaching in a meeting, got caught up to heaven while he was preaching in a meeting. And in that meeting, now one of the things that he saw, he was preaching here, he talks about the hand of the Lord coming on him. And he said this, he said, I went as it were, he said, up in the air and stood with him, this is with Christ, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus, in the air. And as I looked down upon the ground, I could see as a map laid out before me, the entire nation, all the states of the continental United States. As I looked, he said, behold, son, and I shall show you that which shall come to pass, and that which the eyes of many shall see, and they shall remember that their ears heard, that all shall come to pass. Now, what are you saying? So this is specifically spoken to the United States. This is not the rest of the world. This is United States. This is United States. So we need to understand that, what he's speaking to. We have to, is this true or is this not true? Is it going to be? Well, we find out this is one of the things. It says, he said, for there came a dark hand up out of the ocean from the east, even from the Atlantic Ocean. He said, it came up out of the sea as a hand. He said, and as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud, and it filled the whole atmosphere, yea, and it swept in like a storm at sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spoke unto me, saying, son, this is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation. Now, we need to understand, he used the term here, communism. See, today we make new words today because we don't want things to sound so harsh. So we'll tell you a word that lies to you. We'll call it socialism. It's communism is what it is. It's communism. That's what's going on. It's communism. That's what they called it in our day. It was communism. And it ain't nothing good. And communism and socialism are always atheistic. It's you being taken care of by somebody else, another person. It's not, it never does have anything to trust in God. It's always a government's going to look after you. If somebody has something, they're going to take it from them and give it to you. That's what it is. That's its basis. And both Democrats and Republicans have it. They both really do it. You know, we've seen so much of this stuff going on. That's why people, I'm not tickled about either party because they're both in a dive. You know? I mean, we're taking people's money, giving it to major corporations to help them build their corporations and do their thing. And we're talking about it here. Don't give money in welfare. We got so much corporate welfare, and we got companies making billions and trillions, and we're giving them tax dollars. Neither side's any good. But it's whatever buys you votes. This is what it. But see, we have a lot of good moral ideas. You know what? You can hate abortion, but if you're stealing somebody's money, you're still a crook. You ain't no better than the abortionist. You're a crook. In the law, it wasn't, killing's bad, but, you know, stealing, that ain't too bad. I'm sorry. But anyhow. But he said, even in the minds, he said, of men in high places and in politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong. See, people think they want to bring America back. You ain't bringing America back. I done read the book. You don't bring America back. Things are in a decline here. Why? We're running on the end. If we weren't running on the end, you could think about a nation turning, getting to, ain't gonna be no time to turn back. He said, and the nation shall grow, shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now, but liberties you've known and you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. Is it sort of like, is this what we're living in today? Is this where we're at today? This is where we're at. Now it says you're going to be taken. He don't say in here, Jesus called him up to heaven and said, but don't worry about it. It's all going to change. Now, well, it's number one, as I see, is concerned that in the last days it told how people were going to get. It tells us in the scripture, in the New Testament, how people are going to get. See, we have a love today, even in the church world. You know, I wrote in the bullet there. The church world, there's people who, I mean, there's so much socialism in the church world today. They think it's the job. You've got to take care of everybody. Whether they work or don't work or whatever it is, you're supposed to take care of. If you really love people, you just take care of them. We teach socialism. It's bad for you to have a lot of money, but give it to somebody else. It's bad for you to have it. If you really love people, you just give everybody else what you got, you know. You got, why? Don't teach him to trust God. Teach him to trust you. People love being God. They love that when people, they'll look to me. Yep, they're going to look to me. They'll come and worship me because I'm their great provider. See, we don't point them to God. What would you need Jesus for if you're going to have somebody else take care of you? What do you need for? Why bother 2 seconds to believe God for anything when you have somebody hand it to you?
Amen.
Dear Lord. Well, then it goes on to say, it says that I looked again and I could see upon the mountain a blotch as though a bottle of ink had been spilled, spread out over several states in the south and east. And it says, and then I looked and I could see spots blotched over the map. And I said, Lord, what meaneth this? He said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause great turmoil than your nation has seen therefore. So up to this time, we've had back even in the 60s, we've had racial things. But not, there's hatred today like there's never was. Before it was about people trying to get their freedom. Now it has nothing to do with it. Now it's just hate another race, you know. You know, you're bad because you're white.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're bad just because you're white. See, this is hatred to a degree, and this is what people are doing, and people are pulling this kind of stuff. Pulling these kind of things because you're this. Somebody in some other country, you're bad because you ain't giving us all your money. You know, we need to come, you need to open the doors to your place, so we just come and live here, take what you got. See, this is the kind of thing. This is all man without God. This is godless people. Godless people doing that, trying to get something for nothing, trying to get through. Somebody else going to take care of me. It ain't going to ever work. It's never going to work. It leads to a downfall of a nation. You can't, America can't stand doing this. Can't stand. It won't. It won't stand doing it. It's an impossibility. He said, and then he said, I looked and I could see, he said, spots blotches over the map, and I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, went on to say, he said, the communistic inspired hatred. So you're going to have that. He said, listen what he said. Yea, he said, it's not the will of God. This isn't the will of God, he said. This stuff going on ain't the will of God. Gee, he called up Jesus and said, ain't the will of God. How about that? He says, but men's hearts are perverse. And they walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be worse than you have seen. Oh, that's not a positive message. Didn't Jesus hear what those preachers said? You're supposed to... What's with him? He don't even... He'll listen to some of these preachers. He would know what to say. And I said, Oh Lord... Is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And he said, evil men. Now this is really, but this is really from Scripture. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse. The Scripture says that. Who just did Jesus quote in the Bible? What on earth? He said, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, he's telling you, the Bible said what was going to happen in the end. Oh, I thought everything was going to get great. Aren't the heathen just going to get really nice? He said, then I said, oh Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future except darkness, the blackness, and blackness, war, destruction, and evil? And he said, son of man, forget not your text, for you look at the things not seen. What he had been preaching on that night was a message of looking at things unseen. He said, and so, he said, then he said, I looked into the spirit realm and I saw falling upon the mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. He said, and then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls of sparks of fire and it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up and it seems as though their hands were fire. And there sat upon the heads a tongue of fire. He says, when I saw it, he said, it seemed like the whole head were on fire, but it was the tongue of fire leaping. And then he said to him, what does this mean? He said, before the worst shall come, and that day of darkness encompass. Gee, I thought it was just going to be great light. How about this? Now remember this. In 1950, he had a vision where The Lord spoke to him in that vision. In fact, it was like an hour and 20 minutes all told was a vision. The Lord had dealt with him a number of different things. And part of it was when the Lord told him and showed him about America at that time, but told him about some things about the end. And Jesus said this to him, before things get to their worst, I'm going to take the church. And here it is in 63, it's the same thing. Before things get to their worst. You see, Scripture bears with it. Things ain't going to be pretty at the end. People are going to get worse and worse. Lovers of themselves instead of lovers of God. People are going to be done. Now, not the church. You need to learn to divide. Not ignore. The church has ignored, today, the Spirit-filled church ignores most of the Bible because it doesn't tell a positive message that everything's going to be all right. And people are totally unprepared. We should, you know, these things started happening these last days, this stuff going on. Didn't surprise me at all. I believed this stuff for years.
Amen.
But you can't talk it to people because you got 47 big mouth, big name guys who are talking sideways on you. And when you say something, people say, well, so-and-so said. You don't care what the Bible said. So-and-so said, or so-and-so prophesied, or so-and-so. I had that over the years. I learned to say, don't bother saying anything. Well, now we're living in the mess. They can contradict all they want. You can see they were lying. So you got to preach both sides of things. You can't just preach one side of things. That's one thing Kenneth Hagin, see, in the church, and I really blame pastors on this. Pastor relies on big names of people, big names to preach the stuff. And so people go, you know, they go here and there. The pastors are supposed to be teaching in the church. And they're not. They're mimicking. They're just going along and saying with whoever else they're tied to. And they go on and just repeat message. They repeat things instead of sitting down and telling people. See, like Kenneth Hagin used to say, he told us in school, he said, look, we go out, we do healing crusades. He said, we preach like everybody there is going to get healed. We said, we know that they're not. He said, but we can't preach everything. He said, we don't have time in the crusade to tell the both sides of everything. He said, you need to be able to preach both sides to people. He said, you need to teach people in church. If they don't walk right and do right, they're going to have trouble getting healed. If they don't believe certain things right, we need to know this. You know, Apostle Paul talked to Church of Corinth about judging yourself. Jesus told the guy at the pool of Bethesda, there are five porches of people in there. Heals one guy and he tells him, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. You see, we have too much crusade type preaching in the church. And don't tell both sides of the story. We're supposed to be telling them. The church is supposed to take the time to teach and tell people. See, no, we've been listening to the guys running the crusade. It's always saying, positive message. So that nobody's preaching over here telling them why things go wrong. Why they don't work. And it messes people's lives up. They think they're walking around. I've heard more preachers. I've even talked to preachers about it. Telling people, you just need to, they can't get healed. Well, you just need to have more faith. That ain't the problem. It's like I heard one minister said, it ain't about your faith, it's your dirty life. See, you just have to have more faith. Or, if you have the money, the things ain't working out fine, you just need to give more money. That's not the answer to everything. But that's the crusade answer. People don't know why. Now, I understand a guy in a crusade, he's trying to push a certain point across, and that's it. But he's not the guy, he's not teaching everything. He teaches one side that fits his crusade. The church shouldn't be doing that. That's why there's Bible schools set up. God told Kenneth Hagin, because the church is not raising ministers up. See, we need to understand that. Both sides of things got to get preached.
Amen.
So people know. You want people to know. I want people, things working for people. I feel sorry because people hear one message of one side and they wonder why they're trying their best on that side and it don't work. And what's wrong with me? And then we tell them, God loves you. Well, if He does, I wish He'd do something. Instead of stop and say, hey, here's what's wrong on this side. You do things, there's things that you can do that mess up. There's things that you can walk in that ain't right. You know, poor old dumb James makes a statement, talks about how the guy that doesn't, you know, in faith, he said, don't let him think he's going to get anything from God. How often is that preached in a crusade? But people need to hear it. It's in the Bible. Thank God. I mean, I had that. I had teaching that told me there was things that I had to walk in and do and know. There's a lot of stuff I studied myself because I couldn't have got it from the preachers because they don't preach it. So I really got stupid and started studying the Bible. My God, I said, well, it don't say what they're saying. They don't say everything's going to turn out. Everything's going to turn. It's not going to turn out great. See, this is why you need to, for your protection. It isn't bad to hear what you need to stay away from. That ain't bad, you know. It's like you do when you raise kids. There's things you try to get your child to stay away from. You don't want them to get hurt, you know. Say, hey, you know, don't play with this thing over here. If it falls on you, you get hurt. Tell them you want them to be safe. The church is one of the most unsafe things to be in around. They'll let everything the devil has fall on you, preaching positive messages. Not saying, hey, you got to stay away from that. You can't get this. You can't do that. You can't live over here like that. You can't live. You know that lifestyle? You can't live that. You know, you can't go out here and dress that way and expect, you know, people not wanting to rape you or do something. Instead of, no, cause people to lust after you. Because this way I get noticed. And then you can throw a few tattoos on it. That'll really make it. Get attention. You know, wear a neon sign on your hat or something. Do something. Get yourself. Mark yourself. Do something so people notice me. And they think I'm cool like everybody else. I'm sorry, I'm an old fogey. Let me alone, I'm having fun. Woo-hoo-hoo! My God, God talks to me.
Amen.
And I'd rather have God talking to me than people. I tell you. Hallelujah. At least we have something to say to people be worthwhile. Hallelujah. But I just go, see, we want fire, and that's what we do.
Amen.
I'll tell you, see, I'm getting, that got fire. You know? But see, we want the fire of God. That's what we want. Don't be afraid of the times you live in.
Amen.
You know? I mean, I just can't, I don't care. I'm one of the news media, I cannot stand the so-called conservative news media. They never say nothing good. They're always criticizing. I can look every day and see the same criticism they were saying 2 years ago. And they're still criticizing about this. Who cares about a mask? Why are guys still writing about this stuff? Good God, why are people reading it? My God, the DirecTV took Newsmax off. I ain't paying any attention to them anyhow. I heard enough bad news. I don't need any more. Dear God. Don't tell me everything a sinner's doing. I'll end up hating. If I keep listening to that stuff, I won't love them. I'll be saying, Lord, should we pray fire down on them? That's right. That's what you'll do. Say, God, could you please kill Biden? You know, that's absurd. What are you... You get over there. You can't all the time be listening to that kind of stuff. Say, what do these people do that do these shows and some of these concerns? Talk 3 hours a day and say the same nonsense day after day after day after, and people are listening to it by the millions. And you know, there's a lot of, what it really burns me is some of them say that they'll call. I always get a kick out. If you listen to them, they'll call in and say they're a Christian. I think you need to get saved, man. First thing you, because what on earth? You can't listen to this kind of stuff all day and have a perspective of God. It's going to drive you in this world. I'm sorry. I don't know. They must be a lot stronger than I am. Because you keep listening to bad. I don't see how you get good out of it. And it's just negative and everything. And I mean, I must have a hope for the move of God. I must have a hope that this is not the end. Is this the end? Is this it? Is this all we get is what we got now? Is this it? There's a lot of Christians that believe it is. There's loads of them that don't believe in for a move of God. They just believe that God has his hand on the toilet handle. He's going to flush. I mean, that's what they think God's doing. I mean, that's their belief. Man, I've never. Well, my dad. I don't know my dad that way. I don't know my dad that way. My dad gave me 27 last calls. I do believe we're getting down toward the end. Somebody says, is Jesus coming this year or next year? And I said, I just said, God never spoke to me about it. And I'm tired of hearing people talk about it that God's never spoke to them about it. It's like, I don't, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to live like he's coming back. Now, I can just tell you this. He ain't coming back this year because there's things he spoke to me about down the road. So that he did. So I know. Because if he taught me down the road and it don't happen, when I get there, he say, you know, you lied. You lied to me. My God's not a liar. He don't lie to me. I love these preachers. God says, well, they're going to be doing this, doing that. And then they'll say, Jesus, come back today. I say, oh, dear Lord. I say, well, sew your lying mouth shut so you could people keep hearing what you're saying. How could he come back today when you just got done telling him he told you he's going to do something down the road here? He don't lie. I know this, and I believe there's people that God is speaking to, and there's things in the future yet. Now, I'll tell you honestly, if Jesus said, would you like me to come back tomorrow? I'd say, yeah, yeah. Do I get a vote on this and I'm the only guy voting? take us all today. What do you think? I'd say, yes, I'd like to leave. But I'm not God.
Amen.
And whether I live or whether I die, I'm serving Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to preach He's good. Hallelujah. And His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. 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 And He knows how to save His people.
Amen.
He knows how to deliver them from trouble. Glory to God. That's our God. That is your God. See, we want to walk and live in the light of this thing. It doesn't matter what happens. I'll tell you, if we maintain our hope, it's like Mike said, you renew your mind, you can hold your hope in the middle of trouble. No matter, even though things get worse, your hope won't be moved.
Praise God.
You get your mind thinking, my mind is stuck in a direction, I can't get it off of it. Why? Because I spent years putting it, looking in a direction toward my God. I full well know there was evil coming. I full well know, but what I'm staring at is not the evil. I'm looking at the good. This is the path that I'm walking on. I know there's an evil path there, and I know, and people can announce that path. It don't matter. That doesn't move me. It's not going to change.
Amen.
I'm following God. I will not be moved. It is there. I'm not going to, you know, this is a lot of the Christian world today and even a lot of big name ministers. There's something bad said and they're like this. Da, 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 da. You know, I make a lot of noise so I can't hear it said. Like that makes it go away. I'm going to tell you what, that's not a faith person. A faith person can hear evil and he can see evil and he'll proclaim God.
Amen.
He'll proclaim. The guy that don't want to hear it, forget it. They're the weak people. They're not the strong people. They're the weak people. That's why we renew our mind. Why? Because you're going to have things all the time coming against you that are going to be the opposite direction. And your mind is steadfast.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's how Jesus went to the cross. He was steadfast. He had himself a mission. He was steadfast on that mission. Man, I'm going to tell you, the cross wasn't pretty. There was nothing good about that thing. But he went there. Hallelujah. He went there. He had the mind of his father and never said anything he didn't say. Hallelujah. He just walked in line with it. You can face anything if you renew your mind with the Word of God.
Amen.
You can face it.
Hallelujah.
You set yourself. It isn't enough. The Word of God's anointed. It isn't just like words you read in a magazine or just somebody's book. These are the anointed words of God. They will empower you to stand. There's supernatural power in the Word to make it work. Hallelujah. It's backed up by the power of God itself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's just not nice words and just trying to get to think good. It is the power of God working in the mind and in the soul of man. Hallelujah. That makes man victorious in life. To take what's on the inside and manifest it on the outside. Hallelujah. It's the glory of God.
Amen.
That's why we should just want this thing. We should get to know what it says because that's the supernatural. The supernatural. A man takes this word and he believes it and God empowers him to do supernatural things. God empowers him to believe supernatural things. That word empowers you. It changes your mind. It turns it into a glorious mind. It makes you, it gives you a mind of miracles. It gives you a mind that can contradict what everybody else is saying and doing and say, I heard from the Word of God says such and such in this way. And everybody will stand up and say, you're a fool. But when the smoke clears, the fool's standing.
Hallelujah. Give him praise.
I've watched him come and go.
Amen.
I've watched people come and go and told me I was too extreme. And they are on the face of the earth today.
Amen.
Let me alone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's be extreme.
Hallelujah.
Extremely faithful to God.
God.
Extreme believers, unmoved.
Praise
Hallelujah by the power of God. With everything falls apart, we don't lose the smile.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They can't take the joy from us.
Hallelujah.
What are they going to do? Send us to heaven? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! You're going to have to come up with a better threat than that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I preached me happy.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to take communion. Communion this morning, it's about fellowship. That's who you're fellowship. You fellowship with God.
Amen.
We're fellowshipping with God this morning. I want you to think in line of that. That's what we're doing. This is what communion's about. It's about fellowship. It's who we're in fellowship. We're in fellowship with God.
Amen.
We need to get that clear in our minds. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get something today from God. We got everything. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has already been given to us. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get something. It's what we already got.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.